Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 15th of April, recording at 9:26 p.m. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. More of the same. In Asia, stock markets were quietly steady. In Europe, they were quietly steady. And the same can also be said for the Americas, although Wall Street had hovered near the unchanged level for most of the day, but closed with very modest gains. The only market down that I see in the Americas was Brazil, but that had been on a bit of a tear recently. And long-dated government bonds. Let's see, those are mixed. I see no big moves. Well, the U.S. futures are slightly firmer. Gilts were down very slightly, so extremely quiet there today. The euro was weaker because the Greek bond market was roiled once again. Yields got back up close to the 7.5% high level and closed above 7%. The euro is up off its lows, though. Otherwise, the dollar is fairly quiet. The yen is a wee bit steadier in here today. Now, precious metals, they sold off for much of the day. And actually, I see some of them stayed sold off. We had a mild decline, modest decline in palladium, less than $4. We see platinum, which had hit a new high yesterday, as had palladium. We see platinum down $11 today, giving back part of yesterday's gains. But gold is closed higher. It's currently up $4.20. At $1,159.50, and silver is just up a couple of cents. So again, quiet there. Where's the drama been? Well, let's see. Nickel surged again. Nickel's been really in form and has taken off once again. To my dismay, at myself. Really, because I had held nickel for quite a long time, and such a long time that I was grateful for the modest profits that it eventually provided, and then left the scene, of course, just as the big run to the upside was gathering momentum. Now, that can happen, can't it, when you get into something that is full of potential. Lots of support building on the charts, and, you know, the sector fundamentals are attractive, but it just takes longer and we get bored with it. And it undermines confidence a little bit. But it was all on the price charts. Once it started to break out and run, it didn't look back. Okay. What else to mention here? I think that's pretty much it, except crude oil down slightly, 85.45. Okay, what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, this excellent rally in its ninth week, and even if it's an underperforming market, it's probably up 7 or 8 weeks out of the nine, and some of them are solidly up 9 consecutive weeks. So this steady rally continues. Now, prices are not racing ahead. Somebody commented on the strength of the S&P yesterday, and yes, it was a little bit bigger advance, but it was barely above 1%. So we do not have accelerating price trends. We have a steady rise. And we have seen, if you look at the daily charts, you see for most indices, a little step sequence where the market will hover for a few days and then take a little step upwards again, and then hover for a few days, another little step upwards for a day or two. That type of action overall. So what we're getting, the way I've referred to this previously, is that we're seeing a rising consolidation within this move. And that tells us, of course, that De Man still has the upper hand. Not massively so, because prices are not accelerating higher, but significantly so to provide some really good percentage gains here. And it's been an optimum environment for investors, not too fast moving to be alarming or to fulfill potential too quickly, but just nice and steady overall, and it's continuing. Now, eventually, this is going to boil over, and we will get a bigger reaction. Or if it carries on throughout the rest of this month and into June, then we may get sufficiently overextended that we pull back into a correction, which is a bigger reaction. And the last correction we had, of course, was that long-ranging phase with some downward action, which resulted in lows mostly in early February, and also for a number of indices, tests of the rising 200-day moving averages, which represent the trend mean. Now, again, if this, if it walks, talks, and acts like a bull, it probably is a bull. And this environment, technically, is certainly bullish. It has remained bullish throughout. So I can sleep at night with that. And I think you can too. We will have enough time to worry about developments when the momentum changes or the fundamental background changes. But meanwhile, I think it's still a time to make hay while the sun shines. Now, how do we do that? Well, the fuller money themes remain generally strong, but the bigger percentage gains in this environment are likely to be from some of the catch-up moves. And among those catch-up moves, we see things like Japan, which has certainly consolidated and could perform quite well, provided that we also get a weakening of the yen. That's something that I think we will continue to see. So Japan's very attractive. Other sectors that have been underperforming, we've been trying to highlight them, and Owen's pointed out a number of them. Shipping shares, interestingly, have really been underperformers, and they have those big long sideways base formations. Some of the characteristics we're looking for in these sleepers, that's what I have called them for decades at the chart seminar, those are bases that just go on and on and on, and they're wallflowers. They lag way behind because either they had the inferior fundamentals or people felt they did. But as the economy recovers, and as the more importantly the rest of the stock market continues to move higher, those shares begin to look attractive for two reasons, of course. That one would be that the economy is being seen to improve, and that's certainly true today. And the other one is that they begin to look very, very attractive relative to everything else, which has moved so much higher. So, you can comb through the charts and find those, and we've been doing a bit of that, and everyone else can as well. So it's a case of running with the front runners, and I think just about everything is performing here right now. And I'm happy to stay long while this lasts. But it's not going to last more than, I think, a few more weeks. And we should be prepared to see. We can tell what the end will look like. I'll tell you in advance what the end will look like. It will be in the form, quite possibly, of some upward acceleration by the most informed markets. And that is a burnout, acceleration, trend acceleration. is always an ending signal of unspecified duration. The other way some of these indices will end is that they will roll over, lose momentum, in other words. And so clearly the steep, orderly upward trends that we have seen since those February lows will be broken, and that will indicate that demand is now getting the upper hand. In the case of the accelerating upward trends, those will be followed by downward dynamics when they get into trouble. So the classic example is something will look like the strongest market going until the day it turns down, when suddenly it'll put in the weakest performance, or certainly a very weak performance. And the markets that see the rollovers might well also see some downward dynamics. So that's the way this short-term uptrend move of the last 9 months will end. But no one knows exactly, that's what it'll look like on the charts, but no one knows exactly when that will actually occur. And it's just something I wish to ride in the short term. If you're nervous, as I've said before, do some scale-up profit taking. But you want to be nervous for the right reasons. And I think the right reason is that things are beginning to get overextended. To put it in perspective, we're not talking about any kind of major blowout anytime soon. Some are, but let's see some technical evidence of that before becoming too worried about. There are an awful lot of things that one can worry about in life, and in markets, if the technical action is favorable, then I say we don't need to worry about it, but we do need to think about what it will look like when it does start to change, and what our strategy should be when that does start to change. Now, so I don't make this audio too long, let me just mention the precious metal action, which is really quite favorable. It is highly correlated to equities. Equities have the upper hand for the most part right now, but you'll notice that palladium and platinum have also resumed their overall upward trends, and gold certainly has a nice rounding consolidation following its shakeout, which commenced in December of last year. And therefore, I could see gold coming back into favor, provided these stock markets remain steady. I could see gold getting a good run to the upside here over the next few weeks. Now, I'm talking my book. I am positioned for that. But I think it's technically justifiable. At the moment, gold just looks like it's quietly consolidating, mostly above that $1,150 level, where I'd mentioned we might well see a consolidation. But we haven't seen anything to frighten people away. If they leave gold against this background, it's probably because they think they'll make a faster buck or yen or pound or yawn somewhere else, but not because they're frightened of the technical action, which remains very positive. So don't be surprised if we see a pop on the upside for gold. And on that note, I'll bid you adieu. All the best.